You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 119. And today we're going to hear from someone who has built their business by leveraging other people's influence. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs, business leaders, and influencers. It's Melanie Benson, your host of Amplify Your Success Podcast. If you've ever wondered, how do you get really influential people to collaborate with you and do projects with you? And basically, how can you tap into their influence to help build your business faster? Then you're going to love today's episode. I've got a friend joining me who's going to share his really cool strategy for getting really influential people, authorities, celebrities to basically let you borrow their influence. Before we do that, I want to remind you about the Own Your Bold Challenge. And the reason this is such an important five-part training for you is I'm going to teach you how to boost your influence, how to reposition yourself as the authority in your market, and literally how to cultivate a platform that you can collaborate with influencers and celebrities to build your own business. It's totally free right now at ownyourboldchallenge.com. Here's what it is. It's a five-part training. They're very short trainings, but very powerful. It's literally like you're getting access to 5 days of coaching with me for absolutely free. And each day I'm going to walk you through how to establish your big, bold goal, how to take massive action on that by shifting your mindset, what authority platform you need right now to help showcase your expertise and attract more of your ideal clients, and one of my favorites, how to soar by using leverage to build your business more quickly. And last, I'm going to give you a spotlight to get things done quickly. It's all yours at ownyourboldchallenge.com. Now let's get into today's episode. All right, listen up. I've got another great guest joining me today. Let me introduce you to Ryan Williams. Now, Ryan is a strategy consultant and a keynote speaker who has worked with companies including Google, Microsoft, Disney, Minecraft, Activision, Warner Brothers, and the National Association of Realtors. So that's quite a varied spread. He's also launched and marketed Snoop Dogg's podcast to iTunes. Now, just hearing that, I know I have to go listen to it, right? He's the author of The Influencer Economy, How to Launch Your Idea, Share It with the World, and Thrive in the Digital Age, and hosted a podcast with over 100 rare interviews with a number of prominent leaders like Seth Godin, Kevin Kelly, Jemele Hill from ESPN, and Troy Cotter from Spotify. Inc. Magazine declared it the number 7 podcast to make you smarter, better, and wiser. He's also been featured in Inc. Magazine, Huffington Post, Success Magazine, Business Insider, Social Media Examiner, and the USA Today. He's been a stand-up comedian performing at the famed Improv, ran a comedy talent promotions company, worked as a film assistant on HBO's The Wire, Ugly Betty, and on Breach for Oscar-nominated Billy Ray. Ryan, is there anything you haven't done?
Well, excited to be here, Melanie. And yeah, thank you. I wrote that bio, so I hope it sounds great.
Well, it did. It was very impressive. It felt very influential to me.
Yeah, I've definitely had a lot of career paths. And luckily now we work in 2019, 2020, and a lot of your different career paths, help become one larger opportunity to really forge your own path and grow your own influence.
Yeah, that's right. And it probably gave you a nice foundation for what you're doing today as a consultant and keynote speaker. I mean, you've dealt with a lot of influencers. Your background's a lot about influence. Maybe give us a little snapshot of how you found yourself in all those different paths and got to being a consultant focusing on influence.
Yeah, it started, I would imagine, when I was 12 years old, I used to call Larry King's radio show, and I was very curious kid in Des Moines, Iowa, probably because it was freezing cold outside and not a lot to do in the winter. And I would call him under my bed and ask him questions about sports. And then Larry King nicknamed me the Red Baron. And so if you can imagine like a much higher pitched version of myself and Larry King talking, you know, Red Baron, hello. You know, I hear you in the sky, Des Moines, Iowa, and getting really into this. And then I ended up becoming a regular caller. And it's so funny because, you know, I now live in LA and it's come full circle and I've had breakfast with him multiple times and I've collaborated with him. And so I feel like from a young age, I was always curious about, you know, what was out there, what was next. And that comes full circle now because my consulting, you know, whether it's generating business opportunities, networking, helping others to really spread the word of what I believe in and storytelling, you know, is really something that I've had like since a young age in my life.
I love that story. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have this picture of little Ryan under his bed, you know, like hiding out from his parents, little fort, you know, a little blanket fort, talking to Larry King. That's
awesome. Yeah. Just like hoping they didn't come in my room. This is at 11 o'clock at night.
And so on the one phone in your house, right?
Exactly. Right. The landline that I'm praying my mom doesn't pick up to call someone.
I feel like that's a skit from a movie for sure.
Oh yeah. It's all about the Red Baron. And, and that's really how things come full circle in the end, because without my podcast or my book or really any of the work I'm doing, you know, right now, what we're talking about, I wouldn't been able to even talk to him. I would have been just another ordinary person. I'm sure this guy gets pitched all the time. And so I was able to really stand out because I had that book and I was able to teach them something, you know, at the breakfast when I first met him about influencers and marketing. And it was really cool because ultimately, you know, a lot of people think their stories end early, but you never know when that story will end and when you can really, you know, the metaphor I use is punching outside your weight class, you know, and working or collaborating or partnering with someone who's a little bit or much bigger than, you know, who you are in the business world.
I want to like unpack this idea of influential people for a minute, because I think it's a term we throw around a lot. And, you know, I use it a lot in the work we're doing here, like helping people transform into influencers. But like, what is an influencer really? And why is it so important to someone else's success to connect with those influencers?
Yes. I'll start by telling you what an influencer is not, if that works for you.
I love that.
A lot of people think influencers have a lot of followers. They get a bunch of likes or their websites get a bunch of impressions. But at the end of the day, those are all vanity metrics and they're fleeting. And for all you know, Facebook tomorrow will change the algorithm and you're doing Facebook Lives and suddenly none of your friends see them. And then we've all been there. You get that notification from Facebook. Would you like to buy ads? You know, that's where we are now with social media and getting followers on Twitter doesn't matter as much anymore. So ultimately, you know, you are your own platform and you have to create your own opportunities and build with something. And so influence is really making a dent in the world. And it's something that like if someone Googles you in 20 years, then they're going to find that you actually did something that mattered. And through that, you can grow collaboration and opportunities around that. And so if you were to look at this on a straight line, the more you collaborate, the more influence you gain. And I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa. As I mentioned, there's a lot of farms in the Midwest and silos, right? So silos are when you're by yourself. And I studied this for years and interviewing people and researching it, that the more you do collaborate in the modern digital age, the more touch points you have. I found that my research proved that if you have a book or a video game or a movie coming out and people in your networks share it in threes, so people have seen it three different times in three different areas, then that's like their most likely point to ever opt in to be a part of what you're selling or building or creating. And so all that stuff, you know, really comes together. You know, finding clusters of people that are five or less is really where true influence can be derived. If you're the known expert or trusted resource in that group. And so a lot of the data really shows that it's more focused and specific and it can be very niche-like. But at the end of the day, it's really not Kim Kardashian and having Ashton Kutcher tweet your product or having Lady Gaga like your Instagram photo. Like none of that really matters at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I'm extrapolating out of that is that these are people who are actually making things happen. And, you know, one of my definitions of influence is like you're inspiring other people to take action in your life in some way. And so influencers are people who like they're kind of making stuff happen by inspiring other people to make things happen.
Right. And they're taking what can be a small idea and seemingly overnight it becomes world-changing. And that just how things spread on the internet. Malcolm Gladwell has talked about this with mavens, the people that can jump on the phone or email a bunch of people or post on social media to connect you to their networks. And at the end of the day, yeah, it's an inspiration for you to take an action and create something bigger than yourself. And because of the influencer, you feel a part of the journey and the story, and it is a true opt-in, you know, collaboration.
Yeah. Let's dig a little bit deeper into this idea of platforms. Because when we were talking in the green room, you were mentioning, like, do people really know what that means, right? And I think they do, but let's talk about some of the more common platforms and why you picked a podcast and a book to really build your platform around.
Right. Yeah. Definition of a platform for me is really, it's like a foot in the door. You know, it's really to get your credentials, your credibility, and you're going bottom up often. You know, you can't buy your way into that room you need to get into at times. You need to really pay your dues. And I find that a platform like a book and a podcast were collaborative. I recommend anyone that wants to do either to think about how their podcast can turn into a book or how you can reverse engineer your podcast while you're developing the book. And ultimately, I felt like that was a great symbiotic relationship. It allowed me to really, you know, use that metaphor again, like out punch my weight class. And I could pitch people for the book and then they were going to come on my podcast and I got clients from it. I have a funny story. This guy Nir Eyal, have you heard of him? He wrote this really great book called Hooked about how to build products that are habit forming.
I've heard of the book.
Yeah. He's a really smart author out of the Bay Area, and I emailed him out of the blue, right? I'm a big believer in cold emails and just pitching and presenting yourself in a way that's win-win. And I emailed him, asked him to come on my podcast, and told him I lived in Southern California, in Los Angeles. And he wrote back, "This is weird. Can you pick me up from the airport? I'll be there in 3 weeks for a speaking event. I'll give you a free ticket." And I was like, wow, that is really weird. You know, this is very bizarre. But I ended up getting him from the airport. He was a great person. He mentored me. He actually became a client of mine. I helped market and launch his podcast on iTunes. And now we're friends, and he's, you know, referred me opportunities and I refer him opportunities. So at the end of the day, like, really putting yourself out there, getting a platform and getting a bigger vision is what I always, you know, think is what the research shows. There's dreamers and there's doers, and there's also incrementalists. And this guy, Scott Belsky, wrote the book, Making Ideas Happen. And the visionary big dreamer often needs a doer to help them execute. And then the doer is the one that drives everything forward and moves the ball down the field. And then, you know, the incrementalist is someone that just sort of has a lot of projects. And I identify with that. I'm sure you do too. Just you feel like maybe you're watering down something because you're all over the place. And so you need to figure out, like, are you a dreamer? Are you a doer? And then, you know, if you have that bigger vision, then what is it to execute on? And then how do you make something that then becomes a bigger vision, which is really exciting. And that, you know, either ways are how you can develop a platform.
Yeah, I love that. So it's the dreamer, the doer, and the incrementalist, if I can even say it properly. I'm probably a combination of the doer and the incrementalist, but then I kind of like to hire doers so I can focus on the creative part. But, you know, as you're listening in today, come on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. Tell us in the comments if you think you're a dreamer, a doer, or an incrementalist. I think this would be a really interesting conversation to kickstart. All right. So now I think this is really interesting, knowing what your energy is and how it relates to your platform. But I want to unpack this idea just a little bit further of, you've got a podcast. Now, where a lot of people get stuck is, so who am I going to talk to? And you had no problem on getting some really big names like Seth Godin and Lady Gaga's former manager, Troy Carter, and I'm sure a lot of really interesting people. How did you, like, pitch people like that to come on your podcast?
Yeah, it was really remarkable how it happened very quickly. And I was able to really put myself out there. And I had this big vision. So I'm selling people on the book. And people love to be quoted in books, right? No one wants to write a book. They want to be in the book. And so I would pitch people on my big vision, say, come on the podcast, and then you'll also be on part of my book, hopefully, right? And then secondarily, I was early. And so podcasts were a bit more rare 4 years ago. And so this is before Serial and all these big episodic shows came out. And so people didn't really know what they were doing. And so they were just excited to be talking to someone. And then the third, obviously I'm a good host. I don't want to undersell my work, but at the end of the day, like the early adopters often have a first mover advantage as well as disadvantage. But for me, I really could get out and get Adam Grant, this great Wharton professor, author of the book Give and Take, who's brilliant. And I got all these YouTubers at first that had huge followings, and they would tweet it out to their networks, and they were gamers and vloggers and all these people that really wanted to get behind it. And then my friends were sharing it on Facebook. So then they became really understanding of what my bigger vision was. And really the final piece of the puzzle is the podcast suddenly turned into, I was getting speaking opportunities. You know, I had the book, I was launching online courses, and they just fed into each other. And the social proof that the podcast gives you really validates you for other people. And anyone listening, don't be afraid or nervous, like that you have zero listens on your podcast. Like, no joke. Two people have ever asked me how many listens I had. One was actually Larry King, and one was another guy who was over his 70s in the music industry. So yeah, I think people that want to do it, go for it, or also, you know, guest on other people's podcasts. That's a great way to dip your toe in the medium.
Yeah, I agree. And for some people, it's not about starting a podcast. It's leveraging the podcast platforms already out there, which you're saying there's a gazillion of them now.
Right.
And, you know, pick wisely. You know, pick the ones that are really going to showcase you in a expert and authority positioned way, which is what we're doing here, right?
Absolutely. No, I totally. I recommend people not start podcasts right now. And I don't know, how long have you had your show?
Well, I've had a show for probably 6-7 years, but this one's about 3.
Yeah, so you're old school.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, I don't know if I would give myself the advice today to launch a podcast. And frankly, I'm on hiatus right now, but I'm surprised that we all keep doing this. You know, obviously there's something here of value, and oftentimes the ROI isn't selling ads. You know, it's having that quality conversation that we all crave, you know, since the era of Socrates. It's all been about the conversation. So this really takes it back to the original, you know, old school days of, you know, storytelling and how to help one another through relating to one another.
I agree. And I think that podcasting is growing. I think what you were saying about 4 years ago, nobody knew what it was, and now everybody knows what it was. But then we have to remember there's a whole part of society that still doesn't listen to podcasts. And there's been some studies done. I guess it's one of the fastest growing industries out there today. And literally it, like, there's projections that it's 60, like something like 20% of people listen to audio podcasts in their car right now. And they're projecting by the year 2000, like in 3 or 4 years from now, that it's going to be up closer to 50-60%. So I think we have some room to grow still.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the key is like going back to that influence thing, right? It's like, how do you tap that influence and position yourself as the podcast to listen to rather than just more noise out there.
Right. And it's like that word, you know, the phrase, you know, be a trusted source or be a trusted member of a community or just building trust with other people through your podcast. It that's what matters at the end of the day. And sometimes you have superficial conversations like going on the Tonight Show, right? Where people come in or Larry King Live and they have a pre-scripted story, and you know, those are not always the best guests, but ultimately, like, having a podcast or just guesting on podcasts, you become better at answering questions. You media train yourself effectively. And then also, like, being on podcasts shows people that you're a storyteller. And so you don't know even where that will lead to down the line.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, the whole reason for having a podcast is to figure out, like, who you are so people know, am I attracted to that or does that repel me? Like, I'm not interested, right? Because we're not always everybody's brand. So it's a great way to showcase exactly who you are and be authentic to your brand in your podcast.
Right. I totally agree.
So I love this idea that we can actually build up spheres of influencers. Like, we can build up a community of collaborators. But I think there's an intentionality that you use in who you reach out to. And you reached out to me. You know, you pitched me originally and shared your book. And, you know, we built a relationship around your book. But, like, how do you go about picking who you want to reach out to and build that relationship with?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? We're all incredibly busy. And we don't have time to focus on the little things. But I believe fundamentally if you have a gut feeling about someone that you could build the some sort of rapport with, that it's just worth reaching out. And so I really think about people's brands and I'll just be honest. Are they like, we talked about, are they overly salesy? You know, are they someone I would hang out with ordinarily? Or are they someone that really gets the bigger picture that it's about 5 years down the line? And we can all make money tomorrow selling products, but do you want to build relationships for the long run, or do you want to make a little bit of incremental money right now? And I feel like a lot of times in California and Silicon Valley and Los Angeles, people often have the wrong priorities and they want to burn relationships. Like I mentioned, I launched Snoop Dogg's podcast. And when I got that on the front page of iTunes, it got me some client referrals and some notoriety, and people were really impressed by it. We got like 60,000 downloads in a couple hours, and it really was a great achievement for me. But I felt like at the end of the day, a lot of people were trying to work with me, like they weren't on brand with my values. But of course, you got to take the money, right? It's hard to turn it down. But at the end of the day, like if I'm collaborating with you, there's no monetary exchange yet. And that's really what my book was about, was the bartering and exchanging of ideas and occupations and work online, and how we could be in the other side of the planet from one another and collaborate on some sort of project that, you know, studies have shown that side projects now are becoming more a part of your full careers than ever before. And so working on things for free that you think are, you know, completely insignificant to your life outside of just giving you a well-being and feeling better about yourself, there is a now more of a path for a segue where that fun collaboration could turn into, hey, let's make this serious and bring it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm a huge collaborator, but I'm also really picky about who I collaborate with, because I found that a lot of people, like, they see collaboration very differently. And if you were going to guide somebody on maybe some rules of engagement, like what they need to look for to open up I want to use the word healthy collaboration, like something that really is worth putting our time and energy into it. What would you tell someone to focus on?
Yeah, definitely. I would avoid, you know, finding people that want that quick deal. Mm. And really thinking about where you want to be with people in 5 years. And then when you evaluate people, I always recommend, you know, sizing people up. There's another great book called Give and Take by the author Adam Grant that I mentioned. Have you read that before?
I have not. I'm putting it on my list.
It's a good one. And you could even just read a couple chapters online and listen to Adam on my podcast or any others. And he talks about how there's givers, there's takers, and there's matchers. And that's really the three personality paradigms for people. And if you're a giver, that means, you know, you could give with your own self-interest, and that's really one element, or you could give so much that you're exhausted. Like, think about those days where you feel like you've helped everyone and you're like, I haven't gotten any work done because I've had three meetings with coffees of giving advice, or, you know, something like that, right? So there's two types of givers. Then there's the taker. Those are people you want to get rid of in your life because, or you just accept who they are, right? You accept that they're a taker, but they're the people that put their own interest ahead of yours, and you want to weed them out. And then finally, the matchers are most of us. I help you, you help me, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. And so I often do sizing up people, give them tests, you know, and I think that with you, we had natural conversation up front. And I think that, you know, I always believe in transparency. And if you feel like someone's a taker, don't hesitate to cut them off. And if they're a giver, don't feel like you're over giving. And I think a lot of people make mistakes because they're anxious. Like I suffer from anxiety, and I was clinically depressed in my early 20s. And while I was doing stand-up comedy to make things worse or better, I'll let you be the judge of that. But when you know, think about like over giving, that's exhausting. But at the end of the day, like think about someone who can make this a win-win. And so you're both giving with your own self-interest that are aligned.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just being clear, like what is the collaboration idea and letting it evolve to where it's supposed to be versus trying to make it the very thing that you think it's supposed to be. Like sometimes people get so locked into this is the way I think it's supposed to look, they miss the best collaborative opportunities.
Yeah, they totally. I mean, if you think about like if it's on your terms, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. But if it's on mutually agreeable terms, that's more likely to work. And you also don't want to take advantage of people. Like that doesn't really help you in the long run, to just, because then at the end of the day, like this person isn't really getting value from your friendship or your relationship, then, you know, you have to find ways to help people. I'm a big believer in that kind of the shared humanity of all this and how we're all in this together. And I feel like if you can help someone else at the end of the day, that's better for everyone. And some people could say, Ryan, you're being a little naive, but I think that's the only way I can live my life. Otherwise, I feel like I don't want to be taking from someone to give something to me. And so I've always, you know, understood the power of introductions and how helping others, you know, if you can connect to like people, like-minded people, that only helps you in the long run. And so with you, you know, we started conversing, I believe, on Twitter.
That's right. We did.
Which is a rarity for me nowadays. But you just look like someone based on the professional nature of your work that was worth having a conversation. And that's at the end of the day, like where all this, you know, starts from is one conversation.
Yes, I agree. And I think that's another example too, of like allowing yourself to be seen.
Right.
So yeah. If you can't be seen, influencers can't see you and reach out to you, and trust that gut. Like there's a lot of people that I just don't open the door. Like, it's like, I'm like, yeah, this is feeling really high pressure. I don't know. But you know, just being natural and saying, you know, hey, you know, I loved what you did. And I think this is a great strategy to replicate is you shared your book with me.
Right.
Literally, I have had people try to pitch me on my podcast and then tell me I need to go buy their book. Really? Right. Like, be generous of spirit, right? Like, you want me to review your book, you want me to talk about your work, then, you know, make it easy for me. And that's one of the things that I think, if you want to influence influencers, make it easy for them. Make it a win-win all the way through.
Yeah, 100%. Like, having them opt into it. So there's no pressure. They feel like they don't owe you something. There's nothing worse than presenting yourself to someone and they feel like it's a favor. Mm-hmm. And they feel like that now, okay, I checked this off the list. You know, I helped Ryan. So that's it. And when I went after people to come on my podcast and even to getting clients now, I focus on the right people that I think would opt into what I'm doing. And I don't go after Microsoft first, right? Like, you don't go after the big CNN or Microsoft or Google as your client. Like, I spoke at Google in Mountain View 2 years ago, and I then spoke again in LA's office, and I didn't pitch Google from day one. I built myself up. I put some videos on YouTube. I networked my way into Google to get the right introduction. At the end of the day, like going back to my podcast and my book and all that social proof, it really can, I think you can cut the line. I don't know if you agree with me, but like podcasting allows you to cut the line. Like, I get into events for free. I sponsor events and give people, you know, barter with them on my podcast content and ads. And I feel like I've accelerated a lot of career opportunities because I was just able to get in the room because my podcast validated the work.
Yeah, I think you're really dead on this. And I guess I want to just reinforce one thing here. It's great to be guests on other people's podcasts, and that does really position you in a more influential way. However, hosting the podcast is where the real influence kicks in. And that's because you own that conversation instead of being on the other end of it. And so it does change the dynamics significantly. And I've been really fortunate in my almost 20 years career now where I've built up some very influential relationships, and it does open a lot of doors. I get invited to a lot of events. They want the influencers in the room. They want the people who people know, like, and trust to be in that space. So yes, it does open lots of doors, but you do have to be intentional, and you have to, you know, this is not like, okay, it's, I'm just throwing a bag of candy out. Like, you know, you're working this process. You have to be intentional about how you grow your reach through that platform. Okay. So I have to ask you this before we start to wrap up. You mentioned earlier, you don't know if you would give someone the advice to start a podcast. I know you've helped a lot of people launch their podcasts. So if it's not a podcast, what would you suggest someone do right now to really grow their reach as to those influencers?
Yeah, I think, I do recommend podcasts if it's right for the people that are looking at it. Like, if it aligns with your vision, you want a platform, go for it. Or if you want to build a platform to find something bigger, go for it. But podcasting, you have to be curious. You have to be curious about conversing and hanging out, talking to people and being proactive. And not everyone feels that. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to make sure people know what they're getting in for. But I firmly think it's a great opportunity for yourself.
Okay. But I'm glad you clarified that, because I still think it's one of the best platforms. So I was really curious why you wouldn't do it. And I think what I'm hearing you say is you have to have the passion for it.
Right.
Otherwise it becomes work. You know, I have a client right now who is a major influencer in Australia, has this massive body of work. She has absolutely no interest in starting a podcast. So we're working on a different angle for her. But if you do have the curiosity and you do love having conversations and you do like to collaborate, this is the ultimate collaboration, right? Being able to co-create a conversation with someone else that people are going to get value from.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people that I see out there, they start podcasts because they go through the motions. They want to build their network. And I feel like a lot of people just kind of a land grab. They're like, I want to get a podcast because then I can become a lot more successful in network. And I'd say that's could be a great reason for you or not a great reason for you. And, you know, I think that it's just so easy to start one, to your point. You don't want to just have something that's not good enough for standards of quality. Right. And you shortchange yourself in the long run. And
And ultimately you got to have the passion for it, because otherwise it's work and nobody wants to work that hard. Right. You want to do the things that are in your zone of genius and light you up and give you fuel. Like, I love the conversations I get to have, but I also get to be really choosy. I don't let just everybody on this podcast. I had to be inspired by what the person's up to. So I'm really glad that we connected that way. Ryan, you put together a special resource for our listeners. Would you mind explaining what it is, and we'll tell them where they can get it?
Yeah, for sure. I have my next book is on storytelling, I have a couple gifts. I can give you a storytelling, which is my next book. It's a preview of it, and it's three stories to tell. Actually, I can just give you both these things because I like your listeners already. I can tell we're gonna collaborate in the long run here.
Oh, we are totally. There's so much more we're gonna do.
It's how to tell three stories like a badass or authentically, and I turn a talk into the three stories. It's the underdog story. It's where you overcame an obstacle, and this is based on studying TED Talks and how people pivot around and reframe themselves. And it has a fixer story where you help people solve problems. And then you have a authority story, which is what we've been talking about a lot today. And so I give you the frameworks for how to start beginning, middle, and end to tell those stories. And the output would be you'd have a framework for everything. And then finally, I can give people this influencer pitch document. It's headlines, it's body copy. It's a big Google Doc I share with people. And they can just drag and drop any pitches. I've used them to reach clients like Seth Godin, people like Snoop Dogg, you know, everyone not Snoop Dogg personally, don't get me wrong. I'm not besties.
You don't have his cell phone number. You're not texting every day.
I've been around him, but I've not done anything else. So,
okay.
I'll give those both out because I'm already a fan of this.
Awesome. I love it. And I think having some templates that you can customize makes it really, it's so much easier to figure out how to reach out to someone than if you're starting from scratch, scratching your head going, what am I supposed to do? So thank you for putting this together. We will put the links in the show notes. So you can head over to the show notes at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com and just look for episode 119, I believe it is. I may have that wrong, but you can definitely search for Ryan Williams. And Ryan, I like to wrap up with something I'm super passionate about right now, and that is bold moves. What do you think is the boldest move you've had to make to get where you are today?
Interesting. I would say that's a great question, but usually if you're a podcast host, you know that when you say that's a great question, that means you're stalling to find your answer.
It can be a bold goal that you pursued, but something bold you had to do to kind of shake things up and get where you are today.
I actually got laid off a couple years ago when I was working at Disney. And I cried in the parking lot in Burbank. And then I went to drink margaritas with a coworker. And then finally my wife and I took a trip together, you know, a vacation to Palm Springs for two nights. And then I got a better job 2 weeks later and I got more equity, but I had to take a job in sales. And I wanted to work in social media marketing. That's what I'd done at Disney. So I had to I got a raise and more stock in this new startup, but ultimately I had to take it on the chin and reinvent myself at a company where I felt like I already paid my dues. And that was defeating. But I think in the end, it's bold. I think you need to make decisions that are best for you, your family, and your bottom line. And if that means you got to pay your dues again, then sorry, Charlie, like that's where we are. Like everyone's paying their dues again, seemingly monthly, because the world's just moving so fast and you can't expect everyone to be on that same wavelength that you are to catch up with you. And so I felt like I was more advanced at Machinima, but then I had to pay my dues and start over and, you know, get back into sales to start things. And then Machinima ended up getting acquired by Warner Brothers, which was great for my career. And so at the end of the day, it really worked out for me.
Well, that's a great story. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I think even if you are in business for yourself, you're working for someone else, you're in collaboration with other people, like things are radically changing every day. And if you don't have the strength to continually reinvent yourself and like roll with the punches, it's really easy to sink instead of swim and like move with the current. So that's a great example of bolding up and taking a bold action. And I'm glad you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, here I am.
That's right. So Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope we'll see the reboot of your podcast coming up.
It's coming
soon.
Up.
Soon. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, keep me posted. We'll link it up when you're ready. Absolutely. Actually, I'll link it up anyway. I'll make sure everybody's got a link to your podcast.
We still got the archives up.
That's good. All right. Well, thanks for listening in today, and more good stuff coming your way.
Thanks so much, Mel.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.